Hello, and welcome to show number 2451 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Android devices continue to evolve with impressive accessibility features specifically designed to enhance the user experience for people with visual impairments. Here are some of the latest advancements.
And that's what our show today is about.
Android is now more accessible with enhanced tools for the visually impaired, including updates to TalkBack, the Magnifier app, Lookout, and Selfie Illumination. We'll talk with Lisi Lilienfeld and Sejal D'Souza, both product managers at Google, about these features, improvements in Chrome, and other AI-driven tools that make navigating the digital world easier. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Lisi Lilienfeld.
The tip that I tend to give personally is just to make lists. I'm an enthusiastic list maker, and I feel like it's made me a lot more productive in my work, as well as just keeping things organized in my life. It is a part of how I work efficiently, and definitely part of my process for building this feature as well.
Who else do we know who is a big fan of lists?
Oh, well, yeah, Pete always laughs at me for making lists.
She has a list for everything. Seems to work.
Totally.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
InnoSearch AI, an accessible e-commerce tool for the blind. You can find your favorite electronics, groceries, or do some early holiday shopping at InnoSearch.ai, now partnered with over 500,000 retailers. That's InnoSearch.ai.
And by
Glidance, pioneers of Glide, an intelligent guide for the blind and low vision community. Glide's AI-powered technology guides you around obstacles, hazards, and more, providing audio and haptic feedback, getting you where you need to go safely and independently. More information is at glidance.io/eyes. That's glidance.io/EYES.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Lisi and Sejal.
Today we have two guests with us from Google. And Lisi, why don't we start by having you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Lisi Lilienfeld. I'm a product manager at Google. And I work on generative AI for TalkBack, among other things.
Can you explain what generative AI is for anybody who doesn't know?
Ooh, so generative AI is maybe the latest version of innovation in artificial intelligence that understands natural language, it understands images. It's a technology that is letting us do all sorts of things that previously were impossible or nearly impossible.
And how long have you been at Google?
Almost 10 years. I joined as a software engineer, and I have since switched into product management. And I started working in accessibility back in 2018. I was in search, and I was doing screen reader testing to make sure that our feature worked well with screen readers. And that was kind of my first taste of accessibility. And then from there, I went on to work on a whole bunch of different teams working on accessibility specific products. And I've moved across a whole bunch of different teams and now kind of back around to screen readers working on TalkBack.
So you said you've done a lot of screen reader testing. Are you a screen reader user yourself?
I am not. I learned how to use a screen reader in order to do that job initially in 2018.
I must say, though, that many of the Google products are very accessible to people like myself who use a screen reader. Your user interfaces are very clean. It's easy to navigate back and forth. You do a very good job.
That is great to hear. And I certainly don't do it alone. I do really make an effort to work very closely with people who use screen readers as their primary or exclusive modality of interacting with technology, because I do realize that the way that I use it is not going to be exactly the same. It's enough to kind of get started and get a sense, but we have some really amazing testers and also just Googlers who are engineers, who are all sorts of other, right, in all sorts of other roles, who do use screen readers to use their devices. And so I'm always looking for input from them, as well as input from our trusted testers, to make sure that we're making things not just kind of technically accessible, but that it feels like it's intuitive and it feels like it fits with how they typically navigate.
I'm a big fan of that. Sometimes things can be accessible, but not very usable or efficient or productive. So I appreciate that thought. Sejal, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. So I'm Sejal D'Souza. I'm the product manager of Lookout. I've been in the tech industry for about 13 years at this point, and I've been at Google for the last 5 years. I started my journey on Google Chrome, and I've spent the last 2.5 years in accessibility. I live in California. I have 4 pets, all rescues. Yeah, and I'm super happy to share updates about Lookout today.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Google's recently announced enhancements to accessibility using artificial intelligence to improve the user experience.
Well, Lisa, as we all know, technology moves pretty quickly, and particularly in the past year or so with the introduction of all these AI tools, there are a lot of changes in some of our operating systems and devices these days. And today we'd like to talk about some of what's new in Android devices in particular. So where do you want to start?
Sure. So the feature that I worked on that I'm so excited about is for TalkBack. So I presume many of your listeners are already aware, but just in case, TalkBack is the Android screen reader. So it is how blind and low vision users interact with their Android device without needing to be able to see the screen. And historically, when a user would encounter an image when they were using TalkBack, what they would hear is either maybe if like the file name or if the developer had put alt text, they would hear the alt text. Sometimes they, you know, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, sometimes it's high quality, sometimes it's not. But the ability to understand what was in the image was pretty limited. And then we actually, TalkBack had an AI model of the older generation, but now that this new technology came out, this generative AI, this really enabled us to give much more detailed image descriptions. And so that's what we just launched a couple of months ago, are these Gemini-powered image descriptions, and they are so much more detailed, so much more vivid than anything that we had been able to provide technologically before. And so it's just really exciting to be able to give users much more information about what they're encountering.
Now, I guess that clearly works with photos that you take in your photo roll, but I assume it also works with pictures that may be on the websites that you're browsing or other applications?
Sure.
It is incredible how much image descriptions have advanced over the years. I noticed years ago, if I'd be taking a picture with my camera, it would say one head in center. And that'll tell me, you know, one smiling face sitting at a table or something like that. And they're getting more and more descriptive.
Absolutely. Right. Much more vivid. It really kind of would give much more of a sense of really what's being shown, not just kind of a few kind of key bits.
Yeah, it's not just describing the details, but it's giving you sort of the context of the image and what it's really all about.
Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of these AI tools require a fair amount of computing power. How much of this is done on the smartphones, on the Android devices themselves, and how much is done in the cloud these days?
Yeah, so for most Android devices, it's all happening on the server because it is very computationally intensive. We did launch an on-device version as well for Pixel 9 series devices. Because it does require this extra computing power, it's really just for those newest devices.
Right. So you need more memory and a more beefy CPU in there.
Exactly.
But some of this kind of detail does happen on the device itself, on these newer models. Is that right?
It can be done on device. Right now, the larger server models are able to provide even more detail.
That's pretty cool. So what other new features might blind and visually impaired people be interested about that are on Android devices these days?
Yeah, so there are two features that are new that are specific to Pixel devices. So there's an app called Magnifier that's available on Pixel. This is for users who have low vision. It can magnify up to 30x. I was very impressed when I played with it. I don't have a visual impairment, but I was trying to use it to read something that was like all the way across the room that I definitely was way too small font for me to read. And I could just zoom right in on it, and it was like it was right in front of me. It was very crisp. So there's a couple of updates to the Magnifier app on Pixel. One is the ability to search for words. So imagine you're like, you know, at an airport and you're trying to zoom in on the display that's showing all the flights coming in. If you want to actually search for like your city, it will highlight that bit of text so you know where to zoom in on. Super helpful.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. They also added a picture in picture so that when you zoom in really far, there's a little thumbnail that kind of orients you so you know where you are within the larger image.
What other new features are in the Magnifier app this year?
And they also launched a feature called Selfie Illumination, which is if you're using the front-facing camera and you're trying to zoom in on your own face to like see, you know, are you ready to go for your meeting or whatever, it like brightens the screen to add some more light on your face so you can see what's going on.
Oh, that's pretty neat too. That's a great feature.
Yeah.
Because you want to look professional when you're at a meeting with your colleagues, right?
Exactly. So those are the updates on Magnifier.
So that last feature you talked about that works for people with low vision, does it give you voice feedback for people who can't see at all to tell you if you're actually in the center of the frame or where you're looking?
Ah, you took me right to the next one. The other product that I was going to talk about is also for Pixel. It's called Guided Frame. And this is specifically for capturing photos designed for people who are blind or, right, who have low vision such that it is difficult to figure out if things are in frame. So Guided Frame, yes, does exactly that. You open your camera and it will tell you what is in the frame. So it will say, okay, there's a person or there's a coffee cup. It will tell you when it's centered. It has some very nice haptic feedback and audio feedback to kind of cue you when it's all lined up. And it will actually auto-capture. So once you've got, you know, the person in frame and it's a good angle, it will auto-capture the photo so you don't have to worry about trying to like fidget your thumb to the capture button without losing the good framing that you have.
Oh, you know, I always worry about that when I take a picture. Sometimes my phone will tell me that the face is centered or tilt left or something like that. But then I push the button and, of course, that moves the phone a little bit.
Yes, totally.
Our solution is to have me play the role of the artificial intelligence, and we put it on front-facing camera, and he points the phone so that I can see the front face, and then I tell him a little to the left, a little to the right, whatever.
Gotcha. So the updates to Guided Frame are better object detection, better guidance on getting the right face angle, and there's also a new thing for Guided Frame. Historically, it would get activated automatically in the camera if the user had TalkBack turned on. But now there's also a way for users to enable it in the camera settings so that if they're, say, low vision and they're not using TalkBack all the time or they're not using TalkBack at all, but they still want Guided Frame, now there's a way to turn it on that's independent of TalkBack.
Oh, that's great. So you can override it if you don't need that type of feature.
Yes, and those two are just available on Pixel devices. I believe one is Pixel 5 and up, but the other one is Pixel 6 and up. So any of the newer generation Pixel devices have those two apps available.
And when you talk about Pixel devices, those are phones that are Google phones, essentially, and there are many versions and flavors of Android on different manufacturers' phones, right?
Right, exactly. TalkBack is available on phones from many different manufacturers, but Guided Frame and Magnifier are specific to Pixel, or manufactured by Google.
And I assume that's because you can't guarantee what the hardware is like on these other phones.
Yeah, that's part of it, yeah.
Great. Anything else new that blind and visually impaired people would want to know about?
So some things that are new over in Chrome land, there's better augmented image labels. So this also has to do with screen reader user coming across an unlabeled image. So on Chrome, they've improved the image labels there. Chrome on Android now supports page zoom, which is for users with low vision. And one more thing, let's see, on Chrome desktop, now PDFs are more accessible.
You know, interestingly enough, I use the JAWS screen reader on a Windows PC, and I hate reading PDF documents in Adobe's Reader app. There's just something not comfortable about it. I always use Chrome to read PDF documents, and they read very well.
Oh, good.
So I like Chrome. Sejal, before you tell us about some of the new features that Google recently announced about Lookout, maybe give us a quick overview of what Lookout is and what it does.
So yeah, Lookout is an Android app for people who are blind or have low vision. We leverage technologies like generative AI, augmented reality, computer vision to introduce various experiences into Lookout. So things like reading text or taking photos and getting image descriptions and asking follow-up questions and even help users with completing their shopping journeys. So our goal is always, you know, to try to help our users complete their tasks as efficiently as possible.
So it's kind of your eyeballs if you can't see.
Yeah, yes. That's what we aim for.
And you've got some brand new announcements about new features. What are those?
Yeah. Starting today, we are actually introducing Gemini and Lookout. You know, Lookout's image caption and Q&A modes will be powered by Gemini, which will enable our users to have more like detailed and accurate descriptions of photos or people. There's many different ways users can share these photos or take these photos in Lookout and get these descriptions. So that's going to be super exciting and helpful for everyone. In addition to that, we've also released some reading features. So things like auto language detection. So imagine that, you know, as a user, you are, let's say, traveling abroad and, you know, you're encountering, you know, maybe a description or a language that you don't speak or don't recognize. And Lookout's able to detect that automatically and also read it out in that language. Or if there's multiple languages present, including English, it can read the same text in those different languages as well. We have also introduced language support in Arabic, something that our Arabic users have been asking for a while. So we're definitely very happy about that. We're always trying to be more inclusive and trying to, you know, support as many languages and as many, you know, people around the world as possible. So that's definitely something we're very proud of as well. And a very popular feature, actually, that's been in popular demand for us is natural sounding voices. We've heard multiple times from our users where, you know, they would just like to hear a more natural sounding voice that feels more comfortable, more human-like. So that's also something that we're introducing with this launch. And hopefully, you know, that will satisfy the request and make people very happy. So yeah, these are some of the features or the main features that we're covering in this launch.
Now, I enjoy using Gemini's live voice mode sometimes. Does Lookout enable that to make it a more natural conversation when you're querying about a scene?
Actually, we do. With the Q&A feature, the way, you know, someone can ask questions is there's two modes of input. They can actually type a question, so using text, or they can also just use a voice command and ask questions using their voice. We do accept voice input as well with this feature. So yeah, definitely very excited about that.
That's a great feature. It's a nice way to interact with some of those AI services. Great.
Yeah, totally. We want to make it seem as natural as possible, right, in terms of how someone would actually have a conversation.
So, Sejal, you gave us a quick overview of Lookout. Are there any special features that people should look for?
Yeah, I think depending on the use case, there's a lot of cool stuff. We have 7 modes in Lookout today, which is very exciting. For reading text, we have the text mode and the documents mode. We also have images mode, which is, you know, where we're launching some new features. For shopping experiences, we also have a product mode and currency mode. So that allows you to detect currencies and, you know, read barcodes for products and cool stuff like that. And in the last launch, we also launched Find Mode, which allows users to select from a list of objects and, you know, try to find them. Lookout will actually try to use the finder and try to identify those objects and give distance and direction towards the object. That's kind of cool.
So like if you're looking for a door or something, that it'll help you find that.
Yep. And it will tell you how far it is, what direction it is, and all that cool stuff. And then we also have just a very generic explore mode that will literally, you know, help you explore. It'll tell you anything that it reads or detects or, you know, any of that stuff, whether that's text or objects or people, all that cool stuff.
A very powerful and useful app that people should definitely try out and investigate more. Lisi, can you give people some tips as how to best use generative AI and how to make their prompts more effective? Because that seems to be quite an art.
It is, for sure, for sure. And I think sometimes it's about just trying it one way and trying it another way and kind of, right, sometimes that helps you verify, okay, am I getting the answers that make sense? Right, sometimes being a little bit more specific can help. I think sometimes also it takes some iteration even just to figure out, what do I really want to know about? Sometimes I ask it one way and then I, you know, if it's not answering exactly what I mean, I realize, oh, actually there was some nuance to what I was looking for. Let me specify that.
Yeah, I often find myself using AI tools in kind of an iterative fashion. I mean, I've become a lot better at making prompts and knowing the best way to ask a question, but still sometimes you don't get quite the response you want. And I think people should realize it's almost like having a conversation with a person. Sometimes you have to clarify what you meant based on the response you get and just be patient a little bit.
Certainly.
Well, and sometimes the question can get just as long as the answer that you want, but you still get an answer that's more useful than the question.
The other thing I've used Gemini quite a bit for, we have two young grandchildren who are like 7 and 9, and kids like pictures. And I'll use Gemini to make pictures for them that they'll enjoy and then send them to them. So that's a fun way of using AI.
You know, actually, one of the questions that you sent over was about new AI features and how people might use them. So I actually was looking back. I know that you mentioned that you know Victor Tsarin. He put together a presentation on some ways that he's using AI. So I actually checked with him specifically if I could reference it in this conversation. And one of the things that he was saying he uses AI for as a screen reader user is to navigate Google Docs more efficiently. So there is a Gemini integration right in Google Docs. And obviously, you know, he works at Google and has lots of docs that he needs to read. So he's always looking for ways to work more efficiently. So one feature that he said he uses is summarizing the doc, right? You can ask Gemini for a summary. But also, I know that tables can be pretty tricky with a screen reader.
Yes.
So sometimes he'll ask to just convert the table into a bulleted list.
Oh, that's a nice way of doing things. Yeah.
Yeah, totally, totally. Or just ask Gemini a question and it can give the answer based on, right, it's pulling the information from the doc, maybe from the table that's in the doc, and just getting the answer to the question directly without having to read the whole document.
Yeah, that's a great feature for people who are visually impaired, the ability to summarize and ask questions about larger documents, because being blind or visually impaired, it's not easy to scan through a document for the information you're looking for. So if you can have the AI summarize it and then quickly get the information from the places where you really want the information from, that can be a real time saver and productivity enhancer.
Well, and not for nothing, but that's actually useful for people who can see just fine. It's still difficult to extract the main points from some of these long, complicated, involved documents. It's nice having a hand.
Totally.
Anything else we missed, Lisi?
Covered a lot.
We did.
Yeah. One thing that I will mention is that if your listeners are interested in giving feedback on Google products from that accessibility and screen reader user perspective, they can visit google.com/accessibility and scroll down to where it says participate in a tester program. And that's where they can fill out a form if they want to get involved. I really do appreciate all the feedback that we get from testers. And it really, really does help us build things that are more useful.
Oh, great idea. Well, thank you for bringing us up to speed on what's new in Android devices for visually impaired and blind people. And keep up the good work. We'll look forward to see what happens in the future.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about accessibility of Google's products and how to contact them.
So Lisa, if people want to find more information about the accessibility of Google products or Android devices, where would you send them?
Google.com/accessibility.
And what's on that page?
That will take you to the Google Belonging page that is focused on disabilities. And so it talks about both accessibility of products and accessibility of the workspace at Google. It talks about different products. It covers a whole range of things at the intersection of Google and accessibility.
Sejal, how do people get Lookout on their phone if they want it?
We're available on the Play Store, so you can download Lookout. It's called Lookout Assisted Vision by Google. And we'll be very excited. Folks can also provide feedback directly in the app, so we're always looking for new product feature ideas. So we'd love to hear from our users as well.
Since you love to hear from your users, how would they contact you?
Yeah, we have a couple ways, actually. So, I mean, users can always leave feedback with our help and feedback. And then, you know, we also recently launched a user survey to detect user satisfaction with these various modes. So that way they can give more detailed feedback about their experience. Personally, I also am always reading product reviews on the Play Store. If folks leave product reviews, we always get a lot of feature requests there as well. So lots of ways to contact us.
You can find all of that information in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2451, on the webpage www.eyesonsuccess.net. And you might want to check out some of our promotional items for the Habil Braille keyboard and the InnoCert accessible shopping experience website. You'll not only get some discounts if you use the links on our site, but you'll help support the show.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be celebrating the end of our 14th year putting this show together in our year-end special. We'll usher in the new year with two pairs of artificial intelligence-powered podcast hosts who talk about Eyes on Success and its creators, then unveil a fresh website design for 2025, and finish with a special holiday song written, performed, and produced by Pete, celebrating multicultural seasonal holidays.
And that should be a fun show, so we hope you'll join us for that.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.